This morning, we continue our season of Advent sermon series looking at a Christmas carol and the character of Scrooge as sort of our parable of conversion as we wait for Christmas and we understand all that Christmas has to offer us. This morning, our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, beginning with the 19th verse. I invite you to stand as you are able for the reading from the Gospel. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner received evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, last week we began looking at A Christmas Carol and the character of Scrooge as we looked at Bah Humbug and how his life was. We're going to be looking at his conversion over these next three weeks, as he has visitations from the spirits of Christmas past and present and future. Today, as we look at his visitation, he was visited, you know, by Marley, his old partner, a really scary part of that story, who came back and who told him that he was going to have these visitations of these Christmas spirits. And the spirit of Christmas past, specifically, came and spent some time with Scrooge, took him back to his childhood, reminded him that he had once been a young man full of laughter and with friends and had such a wonderful time. There were people in his life that he truly cared about, including a particular young woman, and they became engaged. And then the spirit of Christmas past showed him how over time his heart had turned just to work and to more work and to more work and on the pursuit of wealth at all cost. And it cost him dearly. And we see that in this upcoming scene of the breakup of his fiance because of his greed. As Ebenezer Scrooge goes along this journey with the spirit of Christmas past, he has regret. His twinges of regret. Maybe he was thinking of all those things in life, including Belle, that he had said no to, as he said yes repeatedly to work and then to his drive to work harder. And finally, what became his only real goal, the pursuit of wealth at all cost. It didn't matter the hours that he was working. It It reminds me of Paul's writings to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul writes, "But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." I think that's a great description of what happened to the character Scrooge as he looks at the visitation of the spirit of Christmas past. And you see, the Bible is careful to say, it doesn't say that there's any problem with hard work. It doesn't even say that there's any problem with making money. The problem, friends, is serving money rather than God. The problem is accumulating wealth without realizing that there is a responsibility to share that wealth. The problem is falling prey to the idea that somehow our very worth comes from our job or our wealth or our position of power rather than from our identity as a child of God. And then that leads to us judging other people by those same standards, by their job or their wealth or their position of power, rather than to be able to see others as children of God as well. Scrooge's response to this visitation by the spirit of Christmas past, especially this breakup that we saw, it's one of personal pain. It is one of regret. What we don't know yet in this series on Scrooge, on looking at the Christmas Carol, is whether or not this regret will serve any purpose. Will the regret lead, in fact, to repentance? Or will he just stay at regret? Right now, he just says, following this scene, it says, "Spirit, show me no more. Take me home. Why do you delight to torture me?" All he really wants right now is just personal relief. He's not looking for any kind of interchange, at least not yet. It's like the scripture that I read earlier from the Gospel of Luke. The rich man who is in torment and the poor man who is in comfort in the next life. And the scripture makes it clear that this is the very same poor man that rich Lazarus passed by every single day on his way by the gate. And this man who was poor and sick in this life is now with the angels in heaven. But the rich man Lazarus, well, his only regret seems to be where he ended up, in the flames, in torment. That was his regret. And he still, this just amazes me. He still asked to have that same poor man who is enjoying the comfort of the angels come serve him, right? Oh, my goodness. That is some blindness to God, that even in his torment, he asked for the poor man to come serve him. You see, regret is just a sense of feeling sad or disappointed over something that has happened or has been done, maybe a missed opportunity. There are things that we all can look back and regret. That's as opposed to repent, just a few little letters changed in there, which is a change of heart. It is a change in mind. It is a change in attitude, in our will, in our disposition. A change of mind that results in a change of action. That's repent. That's literally, you're going this direction and you turn and you go this direction. Regret that leads to a change. So it can start with regret over past wrongs, but it doesn't stop there. For repentance to occur, there has to be an admission of guilt, a turning around and walking the other way. But I'm getting into next week's sermon, so we're gonna leave that alone for just a bit. We have some examples of what regret alone can lead to, and we can look to the Bible for that. In Luke, still in Luke's Gospel in chapter 18, we have the story of the rich young ruler. Regret can just lead us to just shake our head and walk away. You see, with the rich young ruler, he came and he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You remember this story, and Jesus said, why do you call me good? Why don't you keep all the commandments? And he said, I have done this. And then he said, there's one thing still lacking. Sell all that you can't own and distribute the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when he heard this, he was very sad because he was very rich. And as far as we know, at that point, though the rich young ruler felt regret, he walked away. So sometimes our regret can just lead us to shake our head, feel badly, and just walk away. It can also lead us to despair. We have the story of Judas Iscariot in Matthew 27. You remember Judas, right? He's the one who betrayed Jesus. And he came, and it says in chapter 27 of Matthew, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. He said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. So one thing that regret can lead us to is just to despair, as Judas. But regret can also lead us to real change. We have the story of Zacchaeus. It's also found in Luke's gospel. And we have Zacchaeus, you know, he's a short little man that was up in the tree. He climbed the tree so he could see Jesus go by. Jesus called him down and said, I'm coming to your house today. And when he saw Jesus, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. And so it is it can lead to real change. We see that also in Peter's life, right? Peter, who is the one who denied even knowing Jesus as he stood after Jesus had been arrested. The difference between Peter and Judas is that Peter accepted responsibility, then also accepted forgiveness. Trusting that God's ability and willingness to forgive is always, always larger than our own propensity to sin. The first two responses to regret, they can just leave us stuck, to shake our head and walk away and sort of feel bad. Maybe you feel some shame and guilt, but you just sort of stay in that and you walk away. Or it can lead to despair, a real sense of shame and of I'm just worthless and that's just where I'm going to stay. Regret alone isn't enough. Because if we don't accept responsibility, ask forgiveness, and then accept forgiveness and make restitution if possible, right? The 12 steps are a great guide for ways to deal with regret. There are some steps in there that deal with that very issue of the things you regret and making restitution where possible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes to the church after he had written very severely to them of some sin that was going on in the church. He said, now I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. For you felt a godly grief, so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret. But worldly grief produces death. Friends, as you look back on your own life, as you think of things in your own life, you know what? Our regrets may be really big, but our God is bigger than our regrets. This Advent, our challenge as we wait in hope and look for God's peace and joy and love is to bring our regrets to God, to lay them down at his feet, to do that honestly. He already knows, right? To bring our regrets to God. And then do something about that if needed, if that's what you're prompted to do. And then, friends, move on. And then move on. Accept that God's grace is larger than your regrets. When you've been honest about that, when you've made any kind of amends for whatever it is, if you've injured another person because of what has been happened in your life and you have regrets about, then you accept God's grace and you move on. You see, the end of the story of the rich young ruler found in Luke 18 also then says, Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and said, how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, well, then who could possibly be saved? And he replied, and here's what I want you to hear. No matter where you are in your sense of regret or you're looking over things that you wish had been different, what is impossible for mere mortals is possible through God. Friends, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, Lord, in the silence of the moment, we ask for your Holy Spirit to call to our spirit those things that we regret, those burdens that we are bringing into this Advent season, those words that were said that shouldn't have been said, those words that were left unsaid that could have healed a relationship, those actions or lack of actions. God, we are honest with you right now about those regrets. And now help us not to stay in those regrets, but move by your Spirit to make amends where possible and to receive your gift of grace and forgiveness and your invitation to walk into a new life with Emmanuel, God with us. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.